First of all, I'd like to thank all of you for showing up this morning. And my respects to Chandramouli Swami. We were talking about etiquette yesterday, so the etiquette is that he should be sitting here. But they scheduled me to speak, so I'm sitting here. And I think I promised all of you some stories from Rath Yatra. Right at the moment, you're seeing photos from the 1982 Rath Yatra here held in London. This was the original Rath cart. I believe there might have been one prior to that. I don't know much about that one. But this was the one that we put together, which Titikshava, who's somewhere in the audience here, I don't know where he's hiding. Oh, there he is in the corner. Later took this Rath cart. Actually, apparently this Rath cart got into a terrible, terrible accident somewhere in 83 or 84, and they were able to salvage it, but it was seriously damaged. And then eventually he had the opportunity, the good fortune, to be able to have the funds, and mystical arrangements were made by Lord Jagannath to change Trafalgar Square to allow for the ability to have three big Rath Yatra carts, which were built similar to the one that you're seeing here. So I wanted to share this with you because this is the London Yatra. It's part of your history. Some of this you might find interesting. You might see some interesting things in the photos that are no longer that way, because these photos are probably almost 40 years old, 35, 40 years old. But this isn't really the story that I wanted to share with you. The story I'm going to share with you now is a story that came because, the reason why I wrote it was because there's a very seasoned book distributor in Los Angeles by the name of Brigapati, and I asked him to come to my house to speak at my Namhata program. And he came, and he's a book distributor, so during the week he was distributing books, and in the evening we stayed up one night late, and somehow we started talking, and I told him the story that I'm going to share with you right now. And he said, Prabhu, he says, you have to preserve this and share it. This is an extraordinary story. So by his encouragement, I wrote this about 10 years ago. I've actually only read it two or three times. And people come to me afterwards and tell you that they have some ecstatic experience. So I'd like to read this verse by Lord Chaitanya. Nayanam galad asrudaraya vadanam gadgada rudaya gira. And so this is translated to mean, O my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love, flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up? And when will the hairs of my body stand on the end at the recitation of your name? So I invite you, if you do find yourself experiencing something like this, just sit with it, because this is actually really, as he says in another verse, the nectar for which we're always anxious. I've unfortunately, it may happen to me too, so forgive me if it does, but I'm the speaker, so I have to press on. But I'm inviting you to relish that moment if it comes. So the first part of this story is actually not written by me at all. It is written by Adi Keshava, who was one of the senior members of the New York Temple at the time. And it's very short, but it reflects a bunch of different things. It reflects both Adi Keshava's somewhat interesting personality, and it also reflects on Jayananda's personality. And actually this whole story, which I'm going to ask the devotee here in a minute to flip these slides over to show you photographs of Jayananda. I'm assuming most people understand that Jayananda was really an extraordinary devotee. He passed away, I think, in 1977, earlier, just a few months before Srila Prabhupada did. And he did extraordinary service, and I had an opportunity to get to know him, and you're going to get to know him today while I read this story. So this is really meant as a glorification of him. So this first chapter, it's called The Prelude, is written... it was a letter or something, I don't know, somebody, yeah, I found it, I don't know how I found it, but it was written by Adi Keshava. So this is when he went to the hospital. Jayananda was very sick with leukemia, and he was talking to the doctors. So he says, for the first time we went to a meeting with the doctors, and doctors were kind of pushing him around. So I went with him, And so the doctor gave us a whole long medical explanation. So finally I said to the doctor, "Look, doc, when's he going to croak?" The doctor flipped out. He said, "You can't say this thing in front of a patient." He got really upset. I said, "Don't worry about it. He's not worried." I said, "You're not scared of death, are you, Jayananda?" He said, "Nah, I guess I'm a little, but you know, I'm getting over it." The doctor was just amazed. So I said, "Look, we just want to know the straight goods. When's he going to croak?" The doctor said, "I don't particularly appreciate your terminology. But if we give him chemotherapy and the x-ray treatments and this and that." I said, "No, I mean without the drugs. When's he going to croak?" So the doctor said, "Well, I can tell you that if he takes advice from people like you, he's going to die in a short time." So Jayananda said, "Well, that's not what I wanted to know." And then immediately he turned around. He's so transcendental. Immediately he turns around and he says, "Adikesha, I've got a plan." Because, you know, Jayananda had these checks he got every month from his trust fund. He said, "I've got this plan how I'm going to get all of the money out of my trust fund." Immediately, that was the first thought he got. "The last thing I want to do is get all this money, and then I'll sell it, I'll send it to Prabhupada. Then there's nothing my father and mother can do anymore. There's nothing my parents can do. There's nothing my sister can do. So then all they can do is pay the bills anyway." He had this kind of immediacy. As soon as the doctor told him, he was going to leave. And he said, "The other thing is we've got to draw up plans for the Rothkart. Go get Maheshwar." So that was Adikeshwar's. I thought it was a good introduction to this story. My throat is dry. It's a little bit ill, so please bear with me. Okay, so this first chapter, the first episode is, what is a Rothkart? I was tossed in the frenzy of Rathyatra construction 3 days prior to the now famous parade that went down Fifth Avenue in the summer of 1976. Srila Prabhupada attended that public event with much satisfaction, but that three-cart parade almost didn't happen. Also, I just want to ad lib here. Most of you know, Prabhupada came to the United States in 1965. And he started the movement in New York. And New York, as you know, is a very, very big city. And he would sit there and he would see these avenues that sort of slice north and south Manhattan Island up, 1 through 15 or whatever it is, maybe 10. And Fifth Avenue is pretty much right smack in the middle. And he would visualize someday, maybe by Krishna's arrangement, I can have a Rathyatra festival down Fifth Avenue, which he considered to be one of the most important streets in the world. And so here we're talking about this very parade. 10 years later, that parade happened, but like you're going to see here, almost didn't quite happen. At least not the way it did happen. So here we go. Shortly after the devotees acquired the famous 13-story temple on 55th Street, it was decided that the temple room would be designed to recreate the intricately designed historic Radha Govinda temple facade in Vrindavan, India. When I arrived there, each of the parts were being expertly crafted by a crew of talented sculptors, but nobody had figured out how all the individual parts would be held together and suspended in front of the altar without falling down. I had studied industrial design at the University of Kansas, so when I arrived, I was assigned the task of figuring out how it would be assembled and suspended in the air. Meanwhile, in January of 1976, Jayananda had started with a small crew of helpers to begin the construction of the Rothkarts with the intention that they would be used that summer for a big parade. Jayananda apparently felt that because of my background, I might be able to help him resolve some design details on the Rothkarts, even though I had never been to a Roth Yacht parade, didn't know what the word meant, or had even seen a Rothcart, what to speak of, build one. Nonetheless, Jayananda would periodically consult with me a few times over the months during the construction of the carts to see what my suggestions were. I must confess that most of the time I could not grasp what he was describing to me, because my utter lack of experience with anything he would inquire about. I couldn't even imagine a parade float with wheels bigger than my 6-foot profile. So I can't really say I contributed much to these mini engineering consultation sessions. All I really did was offer a few insignificant words of encouragement, confirming what Jayananda had envisioned all along. I was flattered that he seemed to appreciate my counsel, but I was so new and he was so highly regarded because I was so new and he was highly regarded as a senior devotee. So it was easy to offer him a whole lot of genuine respect, but all I could really do is encourage him to press on confidently. We would always end those cherished moments mutually agreeing that Lord Jagannath would give him the intelligence to get everything done well. Episode 2, Jayananda's Super Excellent Character. Jayananda worked diligently with the Roth crew for long hours for several months. The cutting and welding 8 new steel wheels with an 8-foot diameter, which is about as big as the door to the temple room, had never been done before, and it was a lot of work. To this day, I don't know of any other ISKCON Roth cart that has been built with 8-foot wheels. Subhadra's cart was shipped in from Chicago and did not require new wheels. So you converted? Okay. So now these slides you're going to be seeing are slides. Just let them loop around. These are slides from the New York parade, and mostly slides just of Jayananda himself. You'll see several slides here of him in a wheelchair. These photos were taken in the parking lot in Los Angeles, 1977, probably within 30 to 45 days before he actually left us. In one or two of the slides, you might see a big Roth cart under construction behind him. Those are the carts that he was inspired the devotees to build, which eventually became the parade's floats for the Los Angeles 1977 Los Angeles Roth Yatra. It was a huge, the whole temple got brought into this project. And I think it's safe to say to this day, the Los Angeles parade is the biggest public event that we do in the United States. The Los Angeles Temple, to the best of my knowledge, spends about $200,000 every year just buying the permits and making the arrangements and cooking the prasadam, all sorts of things. So it's a very, very huge festival, and it would probably, who knows, I mean, maybe they would have done it, but it was certainly inspired by Jayananda, even though he was, as you'll see, in some cases he was very, very ill. So I'll continue. Jambavan was a long-standing dear friend of Jayananda, and they were inseparable. They both appeared to be in the prime of their life like two huge demigods. However, few people were aware of the fact that Jayananda had recently been diagnosed with leukemia, and everything he did was challenged by intense pain in his leg. Although we did not know it at the time, Jayananda would only be with us for just a little more than 1 year before his illness broke his body completely down. Yet every day, Jayananda pressed on with hardly a complaint to anyone. Occasionally, he would quietly reveal to his close friend Jambavan how much he was suffering. But most of the devotees had no idea how serious his illness was. The fact that Jayananda carried on so stoically was further evidence of how mature his Krishna consciousness was. He was later decided that Jayananda could go to Los Angeles, where the warmer weather might not be so hard on his health. After arriving there in the spring of 1977, He had a tremendous vision of Rathiatra proceeding down the Venice boardwalk right along the beachfront. However, his situation worsened. His parents gifted him with funds for medical treatments, hoping to reverse his prognosis, but neither the California sun or the best of medical treatment would modify Lord Jagannath's plans to bring his devotee home. When it became evident that Jayananda's body was rapidly becoming consumed by the disease, he surrendered everything he had left to his eternal friend, Lord Jagannath, and gave his medical funds to start making the arrangements for a Venice Beach Rathiatra festival. It was a visionary plan that even took Rameshwar by surprise, but everyone got behind his dream and worked frantically to make sure it come true. It was the last service Jayananda engaged in, but he did not live long enough to be there when the chariots rolled down the Venice boardwalk. This festival has since become the biggest and most celebrated Rathiatra held consistently in the Western world since then. Back in New York, Jayananda and Jampavan were working so hard, running around to do what needed to be done to get the New York Rathcarts built, that the rest of the temple members did not see much of them. Typically, Jayananda and Jampavan would arrive so late to the Sunday feast that the other devotees had finished eating. So they descended into the back utility room to eat their feast in what seemed like a quiet cave. After working hard with heavy pieces of steel and lumber all day, they were hungry and ready to eat in a serious way. They used multiple half-gallon milk containers for drinking cups, one filled with the nectar and the other filled with sweet rice, and they ate off three plates at once. Often one was completely filled with nothing but just pakoras, while the other plates were filled with rice and sabji, respectively. When they sat down to eat, it was like Lord Balaram and Bhima coming home with a hunger that could not be satisfied even if they ate all of Mount Meru. The parade was scheduled to go down Fifth Avenue on Sunday, July 18th, 1976. As the date got closer, Jayananda became anxious that he would not be able to complete the construction of the three chariots on time. So he requested Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Adhikeshwa Swami for more men to help. The Wednesday prior to the day of the parade, on Sunday, these two senior devotees instructed me to redirect the temple construction crew to join the Rathiatra crew. The next morning, our team of artisans marched up to the abandoned train station on the west side of Manhattan at 60th Street, where the carts were rising up from the asphalt parking lot. It was quite a blessing to have found such a large plot of land right in the middle of Manhattan, where real estate costs were some of the highest in the world. Jai Jai Radha Gokula Nanda, Lakshman Hanuman Sitaram. Toshan Krishna Prabhu was the one who located this place just a few blocks from the temple and get the necessary permission from the owner for us to use his land as a strategic place to assemble the Rathiatra chariots. What nobody could have imagined at that time was that man who granted us that permission later became the 45th president of the United States, Mr. Donald Trump. Think of that. Jayananda was extremely happy to see us come join his team, and his enthusiasm was contagious. He immediately gave each of us appropriate tasks to do, all the while he repeatedly expressed his sincere gratitude for our assistance. He was a dynamic leader. What soon became evident was that he worked harder than everyone else, took care of his crew, and would never ask anyone to do something that he himself was not prepared to do himself if the need arised. Episode 3. Watermelon Prashadam, anyone? Jayananda's anxiety about completing the carts by Sunday morning subsided with our additional help. Everything seemed to get back on schedule, and the mood was jovial and exciting. Lord Jagannath was going to rule Manhattan on Sunday, and we were all going to be there dancing, chanting, and feasting sumptuously. Saturday afternoon, someone showed up with a sizable watermelon and gave it to Jayananda to share with the crew. It's not clear where they got this sizable green ball of red garden nectar from, but they did say that it had not been offered yet. Jayananda didn't waste any time. He immediately cradled the watermelon in both hands, squatted real low, and then hurled it up into the air like an exploding cannonball. When the watermelon crested at about 30 feet, Jayananda bellowed out, "Sri Vishnu! Sri Vishnu! Sri Vishnu!" When the green cannonball came crashing down into the parking lot, it exploded in the red shrapnel. Jayananda immediately collected all the large chunks and began personally distributing them to all the devotees who had watched at this rather unusual spontaneous offering with amazement. As the evening got closer, we finally got the heavy canopy in place on top of Balaram's cart, and we were anxious to work out the details with the raising mechanism. This was, in fact, one of the things that Jayananda had come to speak to me about at 5 a.m. one morning while I was chanting my rounds. I understood that he wanted to lift a tent-like structure, but because I had never seen a Roth cart before, I really did not feel qualified to give him any advice at all. So like the other times, we departed agreeing that Lord Jagannath would give him the intelligence to figure it all out. Now that I had an opportunity to study the carts, I could observe that the mechanism he described and it all came into perspective. I, too, was getting very excited to see how it was all coming together. The next day was going to be very special, and that made me feel special because I was going to be there and I was going to be part of it. Episode 4, Sigh of Relief. Jayananda had slowed down enough where we were able to chat a bit as we approached the final stage of completing the chariots. We backed away from the carts to visualize what they were going to look like as they rolled down Fifth Avenue. Jayananda was a relentless captain who forged ahead for 6 months, overcoming all sorts of obstacles that were stacked up on top of his own medical challenges. On that triumphant moment, the evening before the parade would begin at noon the next day, this great devotee of Lord Jagannath, Jayananda Prabhu, took a rare moment to reflect with me all that had been accomplished, and it was good. Nay, it was wonderful. It was outrageously glorious, and we all felt good about being part of it. The six-month marathon would culminate the following day when Srila Prabhupada joined us for the biggest Rath Yatra event to ever occur outside of Jagannath Puri. After months of planning, all three carts were manifesting with the glory of grand spiritual pageantry. New York had never seen anything like this before, and we were fired up. While we were enjoying this moment, the crew continued to complete the tasks they were given. Ropes were attached, bolts were tightened, and the final painting was getting done. The canopy mechanism was being tested. And although I hardly done anything, Jayananda embraced my friendship as if I was one of the guys who was there welding the wheels with him when they started in the freezing month of January. Balaram's canopy was going up, and they were marveling at how spiritually seductive it was, a tower of blue and red against the dismal backdrop of the train station that was now just an old dump for old cars, broken bottles, rusted steel, and crumpled beer cans. Balaram's canopy was now fully extended, and it stood majestically 40 feet tall into the air. for about 3 minutes, and then it happened. Lord Vayu's challenge. An unexpected gust of wind came rushing down the Hudson River. It blew over the top of the train station roof, right where we staged the construction of the carts, and it caught Balaram's huge canopy like a sail. The problem was that the sail was not on a boat. It was on a 2-ton Roth cart, which was blocked in place, and the forces were too much for the center-supporting telescope to endure. The metal fatigued, and the whole top of Balaram's cart came crashing down to the ground with a thundering sound. We all gasped with dismay. Jayananda watched the whole thing with big eyes and was left standing speechless, temporarily paralyzed. Nobody was hurt, but in about 3 seconds, the towering temple of bright blue had been radically transformed into what appeared to be an old crumpled shop rag lying amidst splintered wood and tangled rope. The long and arduous labor of love that had begun in the dirty basement of the old Brooklyn BBT bindery building last winter had a completely unexpected encounter with tremendous misfortune. We all instinctively turned to Jayananda. What should we do, Captain? There was a long, quiet pause as we stared with much trepidation at what just happened. There was a long pause of silence while everyone was asking themselves the same question. What will we do now? Finally, Jayananda broke the silence and spoke like a man with a broken heart. That cart is out of the parade. We will just have to make modifications and have a 2-cart parade. He then went on to apologize to everyone for what he obviously felt was a terrible mistake on his part. It was clear he was really having a hard time accepting what happened, while also being looped with the now additional burden of having to decide what to do next. He was a man and a great leader, but this was completely uncharted territory. Jayananda did not shed tears, but it was evident that his soul was crying. This was supposed to be his triumphant moment, but instead it was one insignificant moment, Lord Vayu decided to mess with everyone's head. Hold on here. Needless to say, the mood immediately changed. The satisfaction of triumph and success we were all basking in just moments before were literally blown away and replaced with heartbreak. Jayananda felt that the failure of Balaram's cart was his responsibility and was absorbing the experience as a tremendous failure. I was also overwhelmed by the ominous mood that had quickly set in. I kept thinking, what a waste. Jayananda had worked on this huge parade float for so long, and now he was ready to ditch the whole thing because the top was no good? I didn't really understand what Rathyatra was at the time, so like an innocent little kid, I approached Jayananda and naively appealed to him. Why can't we just use Balaram's cart the way it is, without the canopy? It's still quite spectacular with the huge 8-foot wheels. Jayananda looked at me as if I was completely nuts. I later realized what I was asking could be compared to approaching Michelangelo and saying, look, I realize the head of your marble carving of David broke off and just crashed to the floor, but the rest of the sculpture is really pretty fantastic, So why not just take what's left in the, of his torso and the premiere tomorrow and unveil the statue of David without his head? John Adam would have nothing to do with such a crazy idea. No, he insisted. Balaram's card is out. He kept saying things like, I just don't have the time, manpower, or material to fix Balaram's card. We still need to get Jagannath and Subhadra's card done. There is so much we still have to do. Balaram's card is out. It's too dangerous. Well, you must modify the other card so the same thing doesn't happen with them. Oh my, how are we going to do all this? Balaram will have to ride with Subhadra. What a mess. I'm sorry. That's what we will have to do. We'll have to make a place, a space on Subhadra's cart so Balaram could ride with her. Balaram's cart is done. Episode 6, the parade must go on with just two carts. I was new to Rath Yatra. I hadn't been a part of the original team, which had been working steadily for the last 6 months, and I felt really out of place to say anything at this point. But I could see how terribly disappointed Jayananda was, and he made it very clear that he could only do so much in the next 12 hours. So when Balaram's cart splashed all over the parking lot, Jayananda instinctively shifted to damage control. His brain immediately started focusing on preserve what we have. It was the right choice, because there was only enough time to complete the two other carts in a way to prevent the same thing happening to them. Jayananda was rightfully concerned. If the top of either of the two other carts were to also topple over tomorrow during the parade, when there would be thousands of people standing right next to them, somebody would get seriously hurt. That was a major risk, and Jayananda simply wasn't going to let that happen. Balaram's cart would get scrapped, and we would work on reinforcing the other two carts for safety. Srila Prabhupada had inspected the carts earlier that afternoon, so as far as everyone at the temple was concerned, everything was fine, and the three-cart parade was going to proceed ahead without any flaws. However, within minutes after Balaram's top fell, a whole sea of devotees who had just arrived from other cities came down from the 55th Street Temple, hoping to see the carts ready to roll in their glory. Needless to say, things got very chaotic when it became evident to everyone that Balaram's cart was no longer standing tall, but instead was now splattered all over the parking lot. This just created even more distress in Jayananda's heart, who has now also had to explain to everyone what had happened and what we were going to do about it. He was apologizing to everyone while correctly insisting that safety had to be our first priority. He was terribly disappointed, but he would not compromise on anything that might put someone at risk of getting hurt. Oops, wait a minute. My computer just sent me into the ozone. Okay. Just give me a second here. Oh. Made the font so big, the whole screen went blank. Okay. Sorry for that mistake. These little touch pads are a little too touchy. Okay, let's see where I was. Okay. Just for clarity, he was terribly disappointed, but he would not compromise on anything that might put someone at risk of getting hurt. While Jayananda was doing the best he could to send a clear message back to the temple about how we would have to cut the parade down from three carts to a two-cart procession, I began surveying what had happened more carefully. I felt Jayananda's evident pain, but I was not burdened with the emotional angst that he was clearly experiencing. After all, he was the sole fulcrum point for all decision-making, and he was ultimately responsible for the safe completion of these huge Rothschilds. Now, however, within seconds, he had been suddenly thrust into crisis mode, regardless of the fact that he was seriously ill, physically exhausted, emotionally drained, and needed to sleep for a week. Episode 7. Surveying the damage. I figured if I could not make any tangible suggestions, it would be better to just get out of the way and let Jayananda do what he did best and simply lead us. Balaram's cart looked like it had been beheaded, but I wasn't ready to walk away from it without clearly studying what had happened. I was not the one who was immediately swamped with new concerns by the abrupt change in events. I enjoyed the liberty of just being a helper. So in that way, I was perhaps in a better position to see if there may be an alternative to just completely abandoning Balaram's cart altogether. Yes, it certainly looked like a huge mess all over the parking lot. There were tangled ropes, shattered hoop rings, twisted cables, and mangled crown assembly, which broke into splinters when it toppled from about 40 feet in the air onto the hard tamaculum and rubble. In the few days I had an opportunity to work with the carts, I gleaned enough information to understand the basic concepts for holding the canopy up. Despite how massive and permanent the structure might appear to the public, it was assembled like a big box kite. The canopy was like a square sail that was suspended on hoops that hung from one large central crown piece. It was then thrust up into the air by a multi-stage telescoping tower that expanded. I am not the type of person to walk away from 6 months of hard work because of an untimely setback, and I took Lord Vayu's intercession as a personal challenge. Supersoul was pushing me to see if there was any possibility of piecing Lord Balaram's cart back together from what was still left, albeit now smashed into splinters. The canopy was tangled in the ropes, but did not appear to be ripped. The ropes were twisted, but could be untangled. The hoops were just 2x2 wooden pieces that could be either replaced or perhaps lashed together and then glued. The top frame could also be nailed and lashed with glue. Yes, it would be a lot of busy work, probably all night surge, but if we had some extra hands, it seems we might be able to rebuild the top structure by the time the sun hit the morning horizon. Two Conditions, Episode 8. When the word got out about our misfortune, the stream of devotees from the temple increased even more. When I approached Jayananda, he was explaining to everyone what had happened and how we would proceed the next day. I managed to pull him away long enough to ask if he would allow me to try and repair Balaram's cart. At first, he had a hard time comprehending what I was offering to do. In his head, he had already completely dismissed the idea of Balaram's cart being in the parade. It was as if that decision had been made eons ago, and now Plan B had Jayananda's full attention. His primary concern was the strength of Jagannath's telescope, which had been built as an exact duplicate of the one which it had just completely failed on Balaram's cart. Jayananda was noticeably very nervous about the possibility of Jayananda's equally huge canopy also catching a strong unexpected wind and crashing down during the parade, not only hurting someone, but embarrassing the entire Hare Krishna movement, which would have been a disgrace to his divine grace. "What do you want to do?" he asked me again for clarification. While I did not fully understand why Jayananda trusted my judgment, But it was evident from the numerous impromptu consultation meetings we had leading up to this moment under less stressful circumstances that he did. I think that was the only reason why he was willing to stop long enough to listen to my proposal, while he was clearly absorbed in a flood of other compelling distractions, responsibilities, and emotional turmoil. So when he finally understood what I was proposing, he stopped to think about it. He did not dwell on it for long. In his next breath, he said he would bless my efforts to resurrect Balaam's cart under two conditions. The first was that it could not take any of the men he still relied on to finish the work he had to complete. He was relying on all of them to work with him through the night to get the other two surviving carts fully ready for the parade. The second condition was that I could not drag him off focus from what he was doing with endless questions. He didn't want me to distract him with time-consuming interruptions because he felt he wouldn't be able to get everything done properly if he got entangled in the rebuild of Balaram's cart. I could tell Jayananda wanted to immediately get to work, so I told him I would accept his terms, although I knew I couldn't possibly do the job on my own. We didn't discuss it long because the sun was setting over the west bank of the Hudson River and the carts were scheduled to be moved to the intersection of 5th Avenue and 60th Street at 6 a.m. the next morning before the city awoke. That was where we left it. Jayananda endorsed our agreement with a sobering, "Haribo, good luck," as he ran off to tend to the tasks which lay ahead of him. He called back, "I will pray that Lord Jagannath gives you the intelligence to succeed, Prabhu." Plan C, Episode 9. I took a deep breath and went back to Balaram's cart, immediately realizing that the first order of business was to figure out where I could get some help. I knew I couldn't possibly do everything that needed to be done by myself, and I needed a team of volunteers that would be willing to work with me perhaps all night long. Devotees from Washington, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Boston, and even further destinations had begun to arrive for the parade scheduled the next morning. They were just curious to see the historic carts Jayananda had built, and they were streaming into the Roth construction site. I also noticed that two talented devotees from the New York Temple had apparently heard about Lord Vayu's untimely prank and had come to see the damage. One of them was the temple mechanic, Anandaki, and the other one was a sculptor from Australia by the name of Bhaskara. After explaining about the problem we faced, I asked that they'd be willing to stay on and help me patch Balaram's cart together, and they generously agreed. I then got up on top of the cart and asked the crowd of devotees that were there meandering around if I could get three or four more volunteers to stay up late and help repair the cart. More surrendered souls stepped forward. Within a very short time, Plan C began taking shape. I put the vigilant crew to work, separating the huge wrinkled canopy from the tangled mess. Everyone wanted Plan C to work. We were fired up. We wanted to please Jayananda. Of course, we wanted to please Srila Prabhupada and Lord Balaram as well, but it was Jayananda's legendary dedication, which was right there in the parking lot working harder than all of us, which compelled the crew to pull it together. We were going to bring life back to Balaram's cart, and we were feeling Lord Jagannath's unstoppable force. As the canopy moved away, more of the destruction became visible. Now we could see what was left of the steel telescope in the center of the cart used to lift the canopy. I discovered that the main second square piece of tubular steel, an essential component required for the second stage of the canopy telescope, was hopelessly twisted and mangled way beyond repair. This was really bad news. It appeared like we had indeed hit an impassable roadblock. A simple review of the linear formula we were now confronted pointed to the unfortunate fact that our wishful thinking had come to an abrupt halt. No tubular steel equals no telescope. No telescope equals no canopy. No canopy means no Balaram's cart for the parade. Ugh. It was after 5 p.m. on Saturday night. I envisioned calling someone to open their shop so we could purchase a new piece of tubular steel. My heart sank because I knew that was really pretty unlikely, that someone in Manhattan at 7 p.m. on Saturday night would be sitting around in a big steel supply warehouse ready to sell us what we needed. I sought out Jayananda, who was like a commando, running between Jagannath's cart and Subhadra's cart, getting everything ready for the parade the next day. By then he had solved the problem of how to minimize the risk of having the other carts also topple over. He was directing the crew not to raise the canopy all the way up. Only extend the second stage of the telescope 5 feet. Jayananda was making adjustments at the last minute. If we extend the second stage the full 10 feet, it could crash down like Balaram's cart. He was making marks on the ropes and going all over the new procedure with the crew while I approached him frantically saying, Jayananda, we need to get another piece of steel. Otherwise we can't fix Balaram's cart. The telescope is too badly mangled. Where do we need to go? I will take the truck. Give me directions. Episode 10, Wishful Thinking. Jayananda turned to me and he said, you got to be dreaming. The place where we got the steel from is all the way over in Brooklyn, and it's closed now. Then he paused. I told you Balaram's cart was out. I appreciate your efforts, but we can't get another piece of steel. Not at this time. It's too late. I was tenacious. I just didn't want to give in to failure. So I asked if we could call the guy who owns the shop and see if he'd be willing to open the store to sell us the steel tubing we needed. After all, I was thinking, this is Lord Balaram's cart we are talking about, and he needs a quick repair job on his chariot by tomorrow morning. Certainly the guy in Brooklyn would appreciate that. I could tell by the look on Jayananda's face that he was exhausted, and he was still very concerned about getting the other two carts ready by 6 a.m. the next morning. Nope, he said, that's not going to happen. We can't get another piece of steel this late in the day. Everything is closed. We're done. Let the other Prabhus go back to the temple, and you can help us on the other two carts. Again, my heart sank. I wanted to suggest using the topless cart just as it was again, but I knew that Jayananda would not agree to that. And if I brought it up a second time, it would just be a waste of more time and very precious little time we had left. So I turned to go tell my very short-lived and fired-up crew that we had met defeat and we could not proceed without the critical missing part. I was bummed out. I knew we could do it if we had the steel tubing, but there was no way we could get another one in time to complete the work by 6 a.m. the next day. The New York traffic at 7 p.m. on a Saturday night was impossible. The store was way off in Brooklyn, and it was closed. I sadly had to conclude what Jaina had said all along. We are done. Balaram's cart is out. I was saddened, and I wasn't feeling good about the announcement I had to make to my fledgling crew. I went back to explain all this to my enthusiastic but now disappointed team of the last-minute volunteers. The reality of defeat had set in. Even though we had failed to achieve the desired outcome, I thanked everyone for their willingness to give their best effort. I tried to be upbeat about the fact that we would still have two-cart parade the next day, but I could see nobody was happy with this resignation. I was starting to feel the mood of defeat that Jayananda had already aptly bounded back from. Episode 11. Balaram's Triumph Over Vayu. I dispatched the bad news one by one, the devotees began to slowly peel away from our little huddle with their heads down, kicking stones out of frustration, as if they had also failed in their mission. It was a depressing moment, And apparently the sun had finally set on our revived enthusiasm. As I turned to join the rest of Giant and his crew, I noticed he was actually approaching me. I figured he also wanted to thank these devotees and perhaps amalgamate my emergency crew into his completion efforts. So I waited for him to approach before finally releasing everyone to go back to the temple. Jainanda looked different. His walk had a more cheerful bounce in it, and he appeared to have a conservatively radiant demeanor of hope in his facial expressions. He was waving his arms back and forth in a particular way to obviously get my attention. When he got in our presence, he said, "Mahesh, hey Prabhu, what part exactly did you need?" He wanted clarification on just what piece of steel it was that I needed to replace. I took him over to the twisted piece of steel tubing, which was originally straight, but now looked like one of those crazy straws that kids love to drink from. He then said, "You know, I'm not sure, but did you check way down at the end of the train loading dock? I think we purchased an..." "I think we purchased an extra piece of steel that was the very same steel extrusion several months ago. It may still be sitting there. Go check." Could it be so? My mind was now racing again. Anandiki, Bhaskar, and myself went frantically running to where he had indicated the square pipe might be. We kicked away some trash, old lumber scraps, eyes peering everywhere, frantically. Then, as if the whole event was directly scripted by Lord Balaram himself, there on the platform was the exact piece of replacement steel that we needed to fix the canopy. I never saw such a beautiful piece of cold steel look so wonderful before. We all let a huge Hari Bol, Jai Jagannath, and we started jumping around like a bunch of kids at a birthday party with ice cream cake and a clown handing out balloons. We were triumphantly running back and with the coveted Roth part, and all the volunteers on the midnight repair crew thrust themselves back into the mood of heave-ho, we would prevail. Lord Balaram would not be held in contempt by checkmate by Lord Vayu. To the credit of all the surrendered souls, we worked all through the night. As we got portions done, I would send devotees back to the temple. A few left at midnight, a few more at 2 a.m. As we approached daybreak, the big blue temple sail was back up. The telescope had been calibrated to not go all the way up, and we were all excited to see if our efforts all through the night were going to pay off. Jayananda was practically crying with ecstatic symptoms as he saw Balaram's canopy go up for the second time. That in itself also made me weak with emotional ecstasy. He kept saying he couldn't believe it. He was beaming. He was so very happy. The parade would go on just as he had planned for so many months. He was falling all over us with much more praise than was appropriate. But that was the way Jayananda was. I could feel his soul reaching out to me and the crew, which had stayed up all night with oceans of gratitude. He wanted to please Srila Prabhupada, who wanted to please Lord Balaram. We all wanted to do that, and we also wanted to please Jayananda because he was the embodiment of hard work, leadership, setting the example, and a very well-rounded, responsible, and likable devotee. Everyone loved to work with him, and he made everyone feel great about whatever little contribution a person would offer. So for those few moments on that morning, it was quite a thrill. We were all vibrating with feelings of triumph over Maya's distracting attempts to intervene. All the angst from the previous evening was dissipating with the darkness as the sun rose. It was going to be a historic moment for the people of New York after all. Lord Jagannath, his sister Subhadra, his brother Balaram would all be riding on their own majestic chariots down what Srila Prabhupada referred to as the most important street in the world. It was going to be a great day. Episode 12, Vaikuntha in a Concrete Canyon. The temple had arranged for three vans to come tow the carts to Fifth Avenue at 6 a.m. We were exhausted, but we were ready. Jayananda wanted me to assist by coordinating the transport of Balaram's cart to the start of the parade, which I did while he and the crew supervised the dispatch of the other two carts. We finally got back to the temple at about 7 a.m. While we were going back to the temple, Jayananda continued to embrace my friendship in ways that made me feel like $1 million. He was like this tremendously lovable big brother, and it felt great to bask in his affection, as an affectionate association. When we got to the temple, we rested for about 3 hours. He came to get me when it was time to return to the parade site before 11 a.m. when the parade was to begin. It was a beautiful day. Jayananda was ecstatic. While we got a short nap after a long night, the freshly painted bear carts had been magically transformed with all sorts of decorations that included flowers, garlands, flags, candy, and balloons of all shapes and sizes. The Roth carts now looked like they had been descended directly from Vaikuntha, and they had mystically appeared in the middle of this cold canyon of New York concrete. Jayananda positioned himself in front of Lord Jagannath's cart, and Japavan was steering Balaram's cart from the ground the way it was done back in those days. I had been assigned to manage the overhauled canopy on top of Balaram's cart, and I felt like I was very blessed to be part of such a huge event. When the parade began, Jayananda danced with the band in front of Lord Jagannath's cart while he steered it down Fifth Avenue. People peered out of the windows, which seemed to stretch past the top of the sky, and a photographer caught the moment, which was later immemorialized on the cover of the June 1977 BTG the following year. At 49th Street, Srila Prabhupada was escorted to Subhadra's cart and got on his Vyasasan. As we approached Washington Square Park, we encountered another problem. Even though the police had posted signs for cars not to park along the side of the road, somebody had left their car in such a way that the huge Roth carts with the 12-foot wheelbase simply could not get around it. We were nearly at the reception grounds, but now the parade had come to a complete stop. Everyone was perplexed as to what we should do. Srila Prabhupada was waiting patiently, and it would have taken way too long to call a tow truck, work it through the crowds of thousands, and have the cart removed. Apparently, Jayananda had encountered this problem before in other parades, so acting with the confidence of experience, he politely told the attending police officer to look the other way, as he instructed about 30 strong brahmacharis to literally pick the car up and carry it far enough to the other side of the street where the carts could then go by. Before the police could formally respond, it was done. The car was airlifted to a safe place, and the parade culminated with a huge reception at Washington Square Park, where His Divine Grace gave a wonderful lecture on a beautiful sunny afternoon to the thousands who had gathered for the festival. We had prevailed. All our hard work paid off. It was a wonderful feeling, and for at least that day, New York had been transformed into something very, very special. Okay, so now, if you could put up that last slide that I showed you. This is just sort of a little technical thing we're almost done. We're very close to being done. I don't know if you can read all this. I'm going to read this, and hopefully you might have to scroll it up. I don't know if you can see the whole slide there, but try to get it so you can see the whole slide. So I'm going to read this, and I'm going to let you guys sort of on your own sort it out. Hopefully it'll make sense as I explain it. This is just one of those little historic things that's worth taking note of. Only a handful of individuals really know the full story of what happened the night before the 1976 New York Roth Yatra Parade. However, there is photographic evidence that revealed the tale of this harrowing evening, which challenged our resolve to bonded our spirits. Jayananda's triumphant mood was eloquently captured in a photo on the June 1977 issue of Back to Godhead, as mentioned above. On page 8 of that same issue, there is a small photo of the three carts as they proceeded down Fifth Avenue. If one looks closely, they will see that the canopies on Jagannath's and Balaram's cart are not fully raised. This is evident by the position of the rectangular-shaped design that is normally painted above and separate from the bottom shading panel, which extends out over the deities. We can see the top rounded part of that design, but the bottom rectangular section can clearly be seen bleeding into the top of the shading panel. That's because the canopy was not lifted far enough for it to be visually set off on its own. The big sail-like blue tent could have been raised another 5 feet, but for safety's sake, that was not done. The photos taken on that day tell this untold story to those who look carefully for this detail. And then I have one closing short paragraph, which is really kind of sweet. And it also helps remind us that we don't really fully understand how many people are watching what we're doing in some of the most unusual circumstances. So here's what happens. The unknown observers. Few people know this story behind the night before this important parade. But apparently, there was an old retired husband and wife who had watched the entire drama. As the carts were being built and rose up from the dilapidated train station, they watched the daily progress from their apartment balcony way up high overlooking the staging grounds a few blocks away. Every day, they peered down across the 11th Avenue to see the devotees toil on the three big chariots, a sight they had never seen before in all their years living in New York. After the parade, they sought out members of the Roth Construction Group to tell them that they were watching when Balaram's cart blew over and how it broke their hearts to see it happen. Yet they kept watching. In fact, they apparently peered out several times through the night to see the devotees toiling to put the broken cart back together. They were so moved by the experience that they had to come to the temple to tell the devotees how happy it made them to see that we did not give up. It was apparent for those seniors the ability to watch the daily progress from the chariot construction and the collapse and the subsequent revival of the Balaram's cart was one of the most exhilarating things that they had done in a long time, and they wanted to thank the devotees for making sure this story had a happy ending. So we actually ended right at 9 o'clock. I guess if there's a few questions or comments or suggestions or anybody wants to make some statements. Thank you very much.